Everyone, it's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. I am so delighted to introduce you to our guest today. She's such an interesting person, and she's got great energy when it comes to empowering women. Her name is Alexa Carlin. She is an in-demand public speaker. She's a TV personality, an author, and she's the founder and CEO of Women Empower X, WEX, which is the premier community for women entrepreneurs. So, Alexa, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. If anyone is listening to this and they don't know who Women Empower X is, tell us about it and just give us an overview of that.
Yeah. So I started Women Empower X back in 2016 after noticing a big need for diverse women, different ages, backgrounds, and industries to connect and collaborate, because I was speaking to all different groups and I just saw that women were just very segmented off by that like age or demographic or by industry. And I was just like, how much change can we create if we just connect and collaborate? And so it started as this idea to bring women together from different backgrounds and industries, really to uplift one another. And so it started as an event company where we hosted events around the country, multiple years in Fort Lauderdale, Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, California, and Raleigh, North Carolina, attracting 2,000 to 3,000 women per event. And it was such an incredible energy and community that we were building. And it was all built through like organic and authentic marketing vehicles. And then, of course, over the pandemic, we couldn't host these in-person events anymore. So we did a pivot. But what I realized was that our mission is to empower women to elevate diverse voices, give them a stage, a platform to share their story, grow their business and brand, and achieve their dreams. And while before the pandemic, events, that wasn't our purpose. That was just the path. That was the path to achieve that purpose. And so when I pivoted, I really focused and was committed to that same purpose and just found a different way to make it happen. And so today we're an online educational platform. We have a membership and a course we're launching in the new year to really help women grow their business and brand through their voice, which is the most impactful, authentic way to get your message out there and create that impact and income that you desire.
Right. You know, it's interesting because I talk to a lot of people and I always say, you can create a product, but you have no idea if it's going to sell. Yeah. Right. And the way it's positioned sometimes with a buyer, as I was telling you, I said, it's so hard to get a product into retail, but sometimes, you know, people can have a great product. And if it's not packaged or presented right, you have one chance.
Oh, yeah.
You've got one chance with that buyer. And then sometimes it's gone. So do you find that that has happened to people you've worked with?
Oh, definitely. I mean, branding is like your first impression. So there's so many times where, and I learned this being on the conference organizer side, we would get thousands of applications for people that wanted to speak at our events. And me being a speaker, I now was learning how to actually pitch yourself because I was reading so many pitches before I was able to grow my team and delegate that out. And so what I realized is that the way that you present yourself in your pitch, your bio, and then also on social media really does determine if that person's going to dive deeper into your application to want to book you on their stage or their platform or their podcast, whatever that may be. And you could have all the credibility in the world, but if you're not positioning yourself correctly, they're not going to know that, nor do they have time to go and figure that out.
Right. Would you say most of the individuals that are in your community, are they business owners or are they vice presidents or what type of people join your community?
Yeah, majority are entrepreneurs, small business owners, coaches, speakers, and authors.
One of the things I always say that I did that was the best decision of my life was I hired a coach when I had three businesses and I was diagnosed with ADHD at age 45. And so things were just kind of going crazy for me. And so I hired a coach and it was the best thing I ever did because I realized I had to stop being the cook, the receptionist, you know, all of these different things,
all the
salesperson.
Stuff,
right? And I had to be the CEO and start delegating some responsibilities. And that was a pivot point in my career because I'd been so used to doing everything. And I think sometimes small business owners, right? They have to do everything.
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, you know, you don't start with a team.
Oh, it's definitely a question I get all the time. Like, when do you know when you're ready to hire someone? And the answer is like now. You never feel ready. I know I didn't feel ready when I first brought on my first hire, but it's kind of that thing which comes first, right? People have the say that, oh, well, I don't have enough money to hire someone, yet it's going to be really hard to get to that level by yourself. And so you need to hire someone to then make that next level of income. So it's really being able to strategically look at it in a way that gives you confidence in order to delegate. And there's so many like ways to do that today with virtual assistants and different freelancers. So there's so many opportunities, but a lot of times, like, you don't know that, but if you're just working in the solo, like in the silo in a way, like by yourself, and a coach can help you cut down that time because they've figured it out already.
Right. And it was interesting. I had a young professional that asked me, she said, well, I want to be a speaker. And I said, well, great. What do you want to speak about? And she goes, well, I think I can do it now. But I said, you know, you got to have a reason. You've got to have a story. You have to have a experience. What do people look for when they're looking for a speaker?
So if she wants to be a speaker, let's ask, I would say, like, why, right? Why do you want to be a speaker? And that why has to be strong enough to be able to wake you up in the morning, keep you up at night. It's that passion, it's that fire inside of yourself. And then you can figure out stories to tell, but you have to know what the end goal is, right? What does that audience walk away with after hearing you speak? And so what makes a great speaker is not that they had this crazy near-death experience like I did, or not that they had so much trauma or challenges, even though many of the stories we hear are those types of stories. But it's about being able to take everyday life and turn it into some type of captivating story. And I always say, if you can educate, inspire, or entertain, like, that's the three keys of like a great speaker. But if you could do all three, then I mean, you're golden.
Right. You know what? I just love that. Can you repeat that? You said there were three things. So if you're listening, that it was educate,
inspire, or entertain. And that's the same for like when you're on like producing content online, or anytime I go on a podcast interview, like I always try to add value and educate in some way while inspiring people through my story and while hopefully entertaining them through like voice inflection or whatever that may be. But everybody has the potential to be whatever they dream. I truly believe that. And everybody has a story worth sharing, because your story, what you went through, big or small, someone else is going through it. And if you can teach them how you either got through it, or how you did it, or how you are working on it, like, it helps a lot.
Right. Exactly. So tell us about you, Alexa. So how did you get into this? And what was it that said you wanted to create this company?
Yeah. So I've been an entrepreneur since I'm 17 years old, always with the mission to make a difference in at least one person's life a day. And I was growing different ventures from 17 and through college. But a few months before graduating college, I had a crazy near-death experience where a bacteria got into my bloodstream, started killing all my organs, and my body was going into septic shock. And I was induced into a medical coma for 6 days in the ICU for 10. And during this time was given a 1% chance to live. And that changed my entire life, not only from the experiences in the coma and in the ICU that really were transformational, but also 6 months after this experience, I was diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, which is something I have to live with every single day. And it was debilitating for 7 years. And through that process, I found a passion to share my story, thinking that maybe it can inspire one other person. And that gave me a reason, like, to why this had to happen for me versus to me.
Right. Exactly. You know, it's interesting. We are a disability owned company. It's funny, I always tell people I have ADHD, and then I have neurogenic thoracic outlet syndrome, which is basically where I can't raise my arm halfway up. And it's in chronic pain every day, but it's what you make of it, right? It's in your mind too, of that drive that you're going to get up and you're going to keep going. And my staff, I'll never forget, I didn't really want to, you know, announce that or say that. And they said, but you have a platform to show others that they can do it too. And when they said that, it was like, oh, great. Okay. Then, you know, it's no big deal. And my son has never been embarrassed to have ADHD, nor have I. So, and some people it's very debilitating as well. And so I get that. And I love that about you. And so when you came out of that, what was some of the things that were important to you at that point?
So, I mean, it was such a challenging journey, because I felt like my autoimmune just stole all of my dreams away. Because after I graduated from college, I still went on to pursue my dreams of working in the fashion industry and moved to New York City. I'm from Florida, so I was living in Florida at the time. I moved to New York City, got my dream job working in the fashion industry. And then I had to move back home in my 20s to gain support from my family. And it was just a very challenging time. But the more that I started to share my story online through live streaming when I was too sick to speak, or through speaking once I started to get a little bit healthier, the more vulnerable I was, the less alone I felt. And it really is this eye-opening experience in the sense of, there were so many things that I couldn't control. I couldn't control what happened in my past and that trauma, the post-traumatic stress I was dealing with. I couldn't control this autoimmune disease that I'll have to live with for the rest of my life. There was so much out of my control. And when we focus on that, and this is for, you know, all of us, we have so much out of our control. We've seen that in the last 2 years. When we focus on that, we deplete our energy, we deplete our confidence, and we take away our focus from things that will move the needle forward. And so I had to really make this decision when I was so sick and tired of waiting for something to change, that this autoimmune disease is part of me. And I had to accept that. That does not give up. That does not mean give up or give in, but I had to accept it's part of me, but it won't define what I can or cannot do. And so I had to adapt to all these things so I can still try and pursue the life that I so desire.
Wow. So, okay. So you've got this autoimmune disease, and there are days I'm sure that you're either in pain or just not there. You're not, you know, it's just one of those days. You're just not yourself. So how do you, Alexa, how do you focus on those days?
There's a lot of different things that I do, but I would say some different techniques and tools that have helped a lot to focus on those days. I'm just like not feeling well or not feeling like, you know, the hustle mindset or whatever it may be. One is definitely music. I have a pump up playlist that helps. Journaling has been amazing for me. So I journal out my feelings, different techniques of meditation, and sometimes just giving myself a break or going for a walk or like stepping away from the environment I'm in. And the thing about it is that I think it's important to allow ourselves to feel all the feelings. And that's actually one of the chapters in my book is like feeling the feelings, because sometimes we try to push them away. We push them away, but they always have a way of coming back up if you're not recognizing them. But I also don't think that you always have to know why you're not feeling it. And so I'll never ask myself why on those days. Instead, I'll let myself feel it, but I'll have like what I call a happiness toolkit in place. So that time length of when I'm not feeling great or focused or whatever that may be is short. And again, this is when there's not a direct reason to why I'm feeling that way. If like you're going through like, you know, a trauma or a death or something that there's a reason to your sadness or whatnot, then that's a whole different story. I'm talking about the days they're just like, I'm not feeling it. And I don't know why. And that's okay.
Right. Somebody told me one time, sometimes your friends can desert you, right? When you're in those times or they're not there. Has that happened to you? And how did you get through that?
That's another story in my book.
Book, and really quick, before you continue, your book is called Adaptable, and yes, it's available now. So anyway, please go ahead, but we will put a link on that for the website.
Thank you. Yeah. In Adaptable, I have a story about empathy. The story is really focused on how a lot of people left during those hard years, because they're there during the near-death experience when it's all happening. And then a month goes by and they can go and, you know, live their life. And they, when you're dealing with something that's invisible to the eye, like an autoimmune disease or ADHD or mental, you know, health issue, like whatever, struggles, whatever that may be, if it's invisible to the eye, it's hard for people to see that there's actually something wrong, even if you talk about it. And so after a while, like when my months turned into years, I lost a lot of people in my life.
If somebody's listening to this, and let's say that they're going through that, what can they do today to handle some of those relationships?
So I had to decide. There were some people that left in my life that weren't someone that I made the effort to bring back, right? If people don't want to be in your life, there's a balance between fighting for someone versus, like, if they don't want to be in your life, they don't deserve to be in your life, like having that self-love and confidence in yourself. But then there were some other people who just didn't understand how to be there. And I cared for them, and I knew that they cared for me, even if they weren't there during the times I felt like I needed them, but it wasn't their fault. They just didn't know how to show up for me. And so if you're having struggles with different relationships, what helped me, and I had to learn this the hard way, is that you have friends and people for different parts and areas of your life. And when you can have those expectations, like, really set, like, you're not going to feel as disappointed or hurt. And that's the key. Because when I wanted certain, like, I thought everyone needed to be everything to me, then those expectations, like, they're never met. And so what I learned is, like, yes, I have friends that we've had great past memories. We had great experiences. I always want them in my life, but am I going to call them up when I'm crying? No, I have another friend for that, or I have my mom for that. Right. And then there's friends where they're networking, and really it's just regarding, like, business stuff. Like, am I going to invite them to hang out at my house for a movie? Probably not. And so what I realized is, like, these different areas of friendship and relationships really do make your life really full. You have to go out and seek those people for those different areas. But when you understand that, you're going to feel way more fulfilled internally, knowing that you have people in your life you can turn to for all different things.
It's so true. That's great advice. Great advice. And I always say, sometimes it's better to have one friend versus 10 that right. don't truly care about you. And we hear that, but when you go through it, you know it. And so I completely agree. In your organization, can anyone join that?
Yeah. So we have a free community on Facebook and Discord now, where you can look it up at Women Empower X all over. But for our paid community, we have an application process, but really it's not that you had to speak a number of times on stages or have a certain level of income. We're looking for people that are committed to their dreams, because we like to work with people who actually show up for themselves and for their goals. And we see the most success and the most transformation from those people. So that's what the application process does. It shows, like, okay, this person really wants to grow, and we can help them grow.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's interesting. I interviewed a speaker once that said, when you're not in the game on stage, they know it. Your audience can feel it. And yeah. So it might look glamorous at first, but you've got to have your act together, and you have to know what you're doing and have a passion to be doing that, or it just doesn't work, because your audience can pick that up.
Yeah, I think virtually and in person, people can pick up your energy. And I've noticed that confidence and energy it's like the pixie dust to your success.
So true.
That's kind of how I like to describe it, because when you are confident in what you're saying and who you are, people are going to listen naturally, and they're going to want to learn from you. And then if you have energy behind that, and the energy a lot of times is fueled by your passion for what you're speaking on, I always say speak on what you're most passionate about, then people can feel that. Like, I get compliments all the time about my energy, and I never really realized it until, I guess, 2 to 3 years into my business hosting events, where they're like, this event is so different and special, and I come to it every year because of the energy. And people just kept on saying it. And then I finally realized what they were talking about. Yeah. So if you are not feeling it and you're on stage or speaking on a platform, it's okay, right? Sometimes you can't control that because you had a hard day or just got off the phone and you had a fight with your spouse and now you have to go on stage. What do you do at those times? You really show up authentically. I mean, there's been times where I've cried on stage before. And so that energy, it's not talking about like energy and like so much motivational power. It's the energy of making people feel seen and heard. And like you are in this together, whether that's a 30-minute talk, an hour talk, whatever that may be.
Truth and honesty, right? Yes. I mean, you have to bring that in your game every day. And, you know, because I was telling somebody, I said, you know, if you travel, I mean, there's perks about it, but I mean, again, you have to love what you do. And if you don't, you should change what you do because it really it's contagious. You know, you love what you do and you're energetic, as you know, your audience is going to pick that up on it as well.
Definitely. Yeah.
Your book Adaptable. If somebody's interested in buying that, what's in it that they would like to see?
So Adaptable was written to help readers rediscover that light within them, that hope and the skill to adapt to everything that you cannot control. All those challenges, all those obstacles, all the odds stacked against you, you can adapt so you can still pursue the life that you want and achieve what you want and feel joy, you know, through the process, even during the hard times. I mean, there were so many days, so many months, actually so many years where I was searching for the light at the end of the tunnel, searching for that hope. And I never could find it. So I'm like, I'm going to have to live with this for the rest of my life, this debilitating illness. Where's the hope in that? Where's the light at the end of the tunnel? And it was finally like the moment I realized the light was never at the end of the tunnel. It was within me all along. And this book really helps people realize that and shift their perspective on their current challenges, their current obstacles, to turn those obstacles into opportunities for greatness, for their dream life. And each chapter is very short, because I like reading short chapters, and it's a very personal, vulnerable story from when I was in New York City and met Marc Jacobs after my plan didn't go correctly and what
right
that
there.
Led to a time when I was on the beaches in Israel and had this crazy experience that taught me a very powerful lesson, to times in the coma and what I experienced there. And then each story is linked to that lesson that has been transformational in my life, so that even though I was knocked down so many times in such a short period of life, I kept on standing back up. And it was from these lessons that I share in Adaptable. And then at the end of each chapter is a quick action step with an example on how I've implemented it and how you can too.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. First of all, I feel like I've known you all my life. I feel like I could sit here and talk to you forever, but I've got two major questions. First of all, who inspires you?
I mean, every woman out there that is chasing after their dreams inspires me.
I love that. I love that. And then we always ask this question. It's one of our most powerful questions that everybody likes. But when you are not, you know, it's just one of those days and you've got to go present, or maybe you're running a conference and you find out something's happened, or you're just not yourself. What is the song or the genre or the artist that you listen to when you listen to music on the way to that event?
I would have to say This Girl Is On Fire by Alicia Keys is such a powerful go-to song for me.
Wonderful. So what we will do is we'll put a link to your book and to your website on our website as well. And we really appreciate it. And I'm so excited to check out your community organization for women, because I love the fact that you empower women. We have more women in really life-changing roles today than we ever have before. And it's really exciting to see what's going to happen in our future. So thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much. I appreciate it as well.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you're looking for a career coach to get you back on track, check us out at refocuscareers.com. We offer a three-step methodology that's going to help you evaluate where you're at, what you want to do, help you with your resume, and give you a plan to get you on your way. No matter what you do in life, don't forget to stop, take a moment, and refocus.